Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. And today on Follow Me and Die, episode number 35, Thursday Thoughts number 2, Being a Dungeon Master. A couple of days ago, Grand DM over on Twitter, check him out. He also has a blog and posts on G+, was urging players to be kind to new Dungeon Masters. I retweeted his tweet, and I added my own thoughts. And here's what I said. Back in the day, I liked the idea of being a dungeon master, but I hadn't figured out my way of doing it. So I shied away from it and let others do it. After running games for people other than siblings or friends who I've known forever, it finally clicked. And now, unless I'm tired, I can run a game at any time. So that, in a nutshell, is my experience that it took running games in a non-threatening environment with people that I didn't know so well, who knew all my foibles and so forth. I was much more relaxed. It was a forgiving environment, and it really clicked. So a few years ago, I finally ran my first convention game at the local con here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Marmalade Dog. And I had Adam Miscavige and several others that at one time posted frequently on G+ or other places online. And their input was a big help. Seeing how other people played was a big help. Seeing how other game masters ran games was a big help. And while you can learn a little bit watching on YouTube videos, I suppose, those tend to be, at least for the more well-known shows, more polished and may not accurately reflect the way things really go down. And the only way to really get better at being a dungeon master is to do it. So that's where YouTube channels like Matt Colville's channel, where he talks about running the game, is very helpful. He lets you know that it's not really that hard, and I love it when he says he's never read the rules for 5th edition, or something to that effect, and people freak out. Well, you don't really need to read all the rules and know all the rules, and he expects his players to know the rules for their characters, which that's a great tip. But let's dig in a little bit more about my background as a DM. This may overlap a bit, some might think, into Tuesday Tales, but that's more reserved for what happened to characters and NPCs. This, I'm going to touch on my story as a dungeon master. The very first game I ran of Dungeons & Dragons, I don't know if we had the Dungeon Master's Guide yet or not, but we definitely had the Monster Manual. We were probably using the Player's Handbook, the Monster Manual, and the Holmes Blue Box Basic to have enough rules, so to speak, to run the game. And I was quite taken by the boule. And I say boule because that's how Tim Kask, the man who invented the boule, pronounces it. We used to call it a bullet. Some people call it a bullet. Well, boule is Tim Kask's preferred pronunciation. I think we should honor the creator of said monster and go with his pronunciation. That being said, I used a full-grown adult boule of how many ever huge number of hit dice it has and multiple attacks against a party of second-level characters. And I did it because I thought having a boule would be cool. Now, you may argue about balance and old-school D&D not worrying about how the players do things. Well, I didn't handle it very well. I didn't telegraph any warnings to the players other than I said, oh, you have an encounter and this thing burrows up out of the ground and it did its leap attack. And it's just like the players rebelled and like, what are you doing? We're only second level and you're throwing this thing at us and we didn't have any warning. And so, yeah, that was basically a 15-minute session because it wasn't a TPK, and we did a rollback, but they didn't trust me to run a game for a long time after that. I don't remember the sequence, but I did run Metamorphosis Alpha. I did run some Top Secret. I did run some Gamma World. And those tended to be one-shots, maybe two back-to-back adventures when my brother wanted a break from running D&D. Finally, I ran another session of D&D for all the gang back in the day, and I used the common trope of starting in a bar, and none of them wanted to take the hook of meeting up each other, and they all rode off in different directions of the compass, and I'm just like, what the heck? And I had no clue how to bring it together, so we just ended after maybe 20 or 30 minutes, and nobody was satisfied other than I think the players were satisfied for tormenting me, so that didn't go very well. In college, I tried running a couple of different games. That went a little bit better, but I was still in the mindset, I've got to do all this massive amounts of preparation. I also started doing a huge amount of preparation to run a Boot Hill campaign. I was like wanting to start in the days of the trappers and move forward, and just a ridiculous huge scope. And the hugeness of the scope I picked became an analysis paralysis situation. I just never could get it done. And the D&D campaign that I run today that I started running for my sons, I started that back in college and building it up. And my brother didn't like the map I drew, so he drew me a map, which is a really cool map. Then size-wise, it didn't quite fit for the dimensions I needed. I never got it where I could do much with it. I did use it for a couple of adventures in college, but that didn't go very well either. We played for a short period of time, but I just wasn't relaxed and comfortable to just let it go and didn't know how to handle, you know, I thought I had to prepare for everything the players might do because I didn't know how to just roll with it and fake it. Well, finally with my sons, this was before I tried running a game at Marmalade Dog, I was running games for a couple of years. Well, we started off and we had a good start, and then I kind of got bogged down in trying to do all this extra prep and we got away from it for a while. But then we got back into it and we played pretty close to a year almost every weekend, and both my sons and a couple of my oldest son's friends dropped in. His girlfriend, now his fiance, played in that, and we had a blast. They were always wanting more and they liked it. My daughter-in-law is a big World of Warcraft player, and she likes that over D&D, but she liked what I did with it. And I was able to just minimal prep run with whatever they decided to do. Now, they did surprise me on a few things, but I rose to the challenge, and it was no big deal. So by the time I finally decided, okay, I'm going to run a game for Marmalade Dog, I chose Village of Hamlet. That's a module that I bought way back in the day and never ran it. I got it because I thought I might try to run a low-level game to get some people interested, and that just never panned out. I had never played Village of Hamlet, and I'd never ran it before. I did a ridiculous amount of prep to feel like I was able to run that game. After I'd ran it, I realized I put too much effort into it, and I didn't start near the dungeon. If you're going to run a module at a convention in a limited time slot, start them outside the dungeon ready to go. Don't deal with, here's the whole town, here's all this. It just is ridiculous. And I'll link to my efforts of preparing for Hamlet on my blog from back then. But after running that, things just sort of clicked. And from then on, when I run something for a convention, I either get a very simple scenario someone else has put together, and I've only done that a couple of times. Except for that, every other thing that I run at a convention is something I put together. Because if I put it together, I can usually run it without looking at notes. And because I've run several of these now, I've got lots of different ideas and scenarios that if somebody just wanted to play, unless somebody in the group has played one of my scenarios at a con, I can run a game at a drop of a hat. I could even improvise something fairly quickly, given a few minutes to put something together. That's been my experience as a dungeon master. I've also ran several different games online. I've run one DCC zero-level funnel that I made up for UConn coming up in November. Unfortunately, it's the same weekend as GameholeCon, so if you're at GameholeCon, you won't see me because I'll be at UConn in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I've also ran Metamorphosis Alpha, a couple different scenarios on Roll20, and I've also ran my AD&D campaign on Roll20, just a different part of the world. A new part of the world I built from scratch just for the campaign based on some ideas, and I had a lot of different things I've mentioned in my blog about that a couple years ago. And I find having more time as a game master, dungeon master, it doesn't matter what the rules are, it gets easier. And some rules involve too much. A lot of rules are quite similar to D&D and as far as base concepts, so it's pretty easy just to jump in and do it. Those that are based on the power progression of D&D levels of monsters and characters are somewhat easier to just know off the fly what the power level is and how to put them in there, so it's not a total killer. But you can still have areas where if they ignore the warnings you give them, like, oh, you see all these trees torn over, like some giant thing has run through here, and they keep going in that direction, well, then, yeah, they're going to run into the big bad whatever it is, and it's on them. And just remember, as a dungeon master, never kill your players. Killing your characters is okay, but the players, you'll go to jail for that. All kidding aside, if you are new to being a dungeon master, the biggest advice I can give is just try it. Go to conventions, go to your local game store, play with other game masters and see how they do it. It's going to take a while for you to figure out what is your quote-unquote style, your way of being a dungeon master. And while you may borrow from the way others run their games, eventually, you're going to settle into what feels comfortable for you, and it's just going to be natural, and you'll be able to roll with the punches. Now, if you're somebody that is really worried about improv and trying to roll with the flow of what the players do, if you relax, I'm one of these really uptight kind of people, and I manage to get where I can just roll with it with the game. And for me, half the fun is seeing what craziness the players come up with based on the scenarios I set forth, and I've gotten where I can go with fewer and fewer notes. And I'll even admit this here. I ran a game where I typed up some notes and got a folder, and I forgot to put the notes in the folder and ran a game at a convention with an empty notebook, and the players never knew that that happened because I just scribbled down what I could remember off the top of my head, and I ran it, and it worked fine. If you relax and don't sweat the small stuff and just let it happen, you're golden. Now, players, whether you're experienced players or new players, give a new DM a break. If you're a rules lawyer, bite your tongue or don't play. You need to let the dungeon master figure out the game, how they're going to run it. And if you're arguing about every little rule interpretation, this, that, and the other, you're going to frustrate them, and you're going to have one less dungeon master in the world if you do that. Be forgiving. It's just a game, and it's a role, R-O-L-E, playing game. If you want to get all nitpicky about the rules, you need to find a dungeon master that is going to be more nitpicky about the rules than you and will throw it right back in your face where you're wrong. If you don't like being told you're wrong by the game master, or the game master saying, I'm the dungeon master, and if you don't like it, you don't have to play here, keep it up. Don't be a Don't be that way. That's no fun for anybody else at the table. If you can find a whole bunch of rules lawyers that like to sit around and argue this stuff, great. But that should be something for after the game, not in the middle of the game. You should be able to play and just get on with it and have fun. Because that's what it's all about. It's a game. It's about fun. So that's my two cents about my experience and some of my thoughts about stepping into the role of Dungeon Master. I'd like to hear some of your stories about that. Thanks, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on.